Well, as you know, today is a special day. And I realize that every time, and I've said it many times, every time God's people come together, it's a special day and a special time. But today is perhaps a little more special, if you will allow it, because it's not every day that we get to send a missionary. The truth of the matter is, in the Church of the Nazarene, every local church participates in the worldwide missionary effort of the church through our budgets. Every month, we willingly and gladly send funds, significant funds, that help our global missionaries all over the world in their work. And we're glad to do it. And every now and then, we have a missionary that comes to speak. We have a missionary that comes to speak at our church. In fact, we have one coming in just over 2 weeks, on August the 20th. Do you have the names of that missionary or missionaries, Dorothy? Not off the top of your head. But they're coming. Heather Keats booked the tickets, I believe. So we're looking forward to that, finding out more about what God is doing around the world. But what makes today different, at least a little bit, is that today we are sending one of our very own, born and raised here in Whitehorse, here in the church, to serve in a very special way in Tanzania, and I think that's kind of special. There are some of you who will remember Nora from the time when she was a baby. Many more of you will know her as a young girl, very full of energy, and then as a teenager and a young adult. But whenever you got to meet her, her whole life, except for when she went out for education, has been here in the Yukon, and now she gets to respond to God's call in her life. Of course, we don't know what the future holds, but it is entirely possible that this isn't simply a two-year jaunt overseas to be able to say, I've been there and done that, and come back and resume life as normal. That could happen, but it is also entirely possible that 2 years will become 4 years, and 4 years might become more and more, and who knows what God will do. We don't know what doors God will open, but we know this, and this is the message that I wanted to bring not only to Nora, but to all of us here today, and it is this. When God calls you and sends you on a mission, He will always be with you. Your part is to respond to the Lord with yes. We see this in many situations, but one of the earliest and clearest examples of this is the story of Abraham, as recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. Let's take a moment and read that. Just a few verses. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued toward the Negev. Whenever I read this passage of scripture and hear this story, I'm always intrigued at the faith that Abraham must have had, the faith and the courage. I mean, the words of the Lord were not easy to grasp. They're easy to understand, but not so easy to embrace. Leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's household. You know, at this point, it's not like Abraham was a very young man. He was 75 years old. He was probably looking at, you know, things settling down a little bit. He had possessions that he had accumulated over the years. Probably the last thing on his mind was packing up and moving. And not just across town either. I mean, did God really want him to go packing like that? Wasn't there someone else that can do it? But the call of God was clear. There was no mistaking it. And I find that many times in the scripture, when God calls someone to a task or a mission or a purpose or something like that, his purposes, his call is very clear. And the one thing that perhaps Abraham had going for him was the fact that this wasn't the first time he was moving. In fact, his own father, Terah, had started the family on a journey years ago. Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 tells us that they left Ur of the Chaldeans and headed towards Canaan, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. I find that very interesting because his father, years before, had started a journey towards Canaan, but they had stopped along the way. And now, years later, Abraham is being called to pack up his family and continue the journey. And in a sense, Abraham is carrying on where his father had left off. So he's had some experience traveling. But still, it's not easy. You couldn't just call the movers like you might do it today. You know, when you're young, it's easier to move. The longer you settle down somewhere, the harder it becomes. I remember the day when all my earthly possessions fit in the back of a station wagon. I remember that day. It was in August of 1981. And I remember that because I had just moved from one place in Winnipeg to another place in Winnipeg, and I was having some potential issues at the college, and they wanted something, and I was thinking something else. And I remember thinking to myself, well, everything I own fit in my station wagon, so I know if I need to, I can pack it all up and head out if I needed to. Fortunately, that did not happen. But that's another story. But the longer you stay somewhere, the harder it becomes to pack up. So just imagine that for Abraham. And with God's clear call on his life, Abraham packed everything he had. Verse 5 says he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and all the people they had acquired, and they set out for the land of Canaan. An epic journey that would change the course of history. Now, let me be clear, so we make no mistake about it. What God is calling us to today, and what God is calling perhaps Nora to today, is not at all the same as what God was calling Abraham to. God was calling Abraham to a new land. He was calling him to become a great nation of people through him, a people who God would use to bless all the peoples of the world. That was quite a call that God had on Abraham's life. It was very specific. It was rather grand. But that was the call to Abraham. When God calls you and I to serve him, and when I talk about being called of God to serve him, I'm not talking strictly about a missionary or a minister. I'm talking about any way that God calls you to serve him. It could be those of you who are teaching in our Sunday schools or our kids programs or our youth program or in many other ways. And not just teaching either, but in many other ways. God calls us to serve him in many different ways. It's not all grand, like for Abraham. It's not all like Moses being called to lead people out of Egypt. I don't expect God is going to call any of us to pick up 5 smooth stones and face a Goliath. But whatever our circumstances, and they will be different, there are certain principles in responding to God's call for our lives that we need to embrace. And they are timeless, and they go beyond our circumstances. Doesn't matter if God is calling you to go to Canaan and become a great nation, or go to Tanzania, or to serve here in Whitehorse in one of a multitude of opportunities. The principles of responding to God are the same. And it begins with understanding that God has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter who you are, God has a purpose for you. And like I said, it might not be on the same scale as Abraham, but that doesn't mean it's any less important to God's kingdom. No matter who you are, it's important to understand that God does have a purpose for your life. We are here for a reason. You don't have to be Moses. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You could be who you are. And God has a reason for you here. I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the body is made up of many parts, but they all come together to form one body, and it's there for a purpose. We don't all do the same thing. We're not all called to preach. We're not all called to teach. We're not all called to serve overseas. And a multitude of other things, but we are all called in some way to be a part of the body of Christ. Everyone is different. You don't have to be like the person next to you. But God has a purpose for you. He called some to be apostles, some to be teachers, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, "I know the plans that I have for you," says the Lord. God has plans for you. That's a principle. If we're going to respond to God's call in our life, we need to understand, first of all, that God has plans, has a purpose for you. And with that purpose or that plan comes a promise. Just as God made promises to his people throughout the ages, his promise has always been, "I will be with you." It is so important for us to understand that when God is calling us, when God is commissioning us to something, that he is not going to abandon us, that he is not going to leave you hanging out there. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago. When I spoke about facing fears, we looked at Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, where God reminded Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wow, those are powerful words. Those are words we need to hold on to. What is God calling you to? And how is he promising that he will be with you wherever you go? Even Jesus' last words, reported by Matthew after the resurrection. Jesus had gathered with him his 11 remaining disciples, and he told them, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Oh, he wasn't going to be there in person, physically, but he was with them in spirit. Time and time again, God has promised to be with his people. And that includes you and I. Wherever you serve the Lord, in whatever capacity. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be in your workplace. It could be in your household. Wherever you are called to serve the Lord, in whatever capacity, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, let me be clear. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. Sometimes people think, I don't know where they get that notion, that if I follow Christ, if I submit my will to him, everything will be easy. It'll all be just smooth sailing from here on in. And while God promises to be with you, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. I mentioned last week, Jesus reminded his followers, in this world you will have trouble. But Jesus adds, take heart, I have come to overcome the world. His promise is to always be at your side. And that takes us to the next principle. There will be challenges. There will be changes. When we looked at God's people throughout the ages, we find that they inevitably faced challenges. Abraham, Moses, oh, you can go on, Gideon, the prophets. They didn't want to take that job. David, a shepherd boy, the disciples. One day they're fishing. One day they're fishermen. The next day they're leaving all that behind and they're following after Jesus. Whatever their occupations were. And Jesus warned them that it would be difficult. That there would be uncertainty. That there would be challenges. That there would be changes. He said, take up your cross. This is what it's going to take. It won't be easy, but he would be with them. We need to be prepared to face challenges, to face changes, to face criticism, even rejection, in order to get to where God wants us to be. Sometimes we have to leave the old behind. And that is most certainly true, if not in the literal physical sense, it is absolutely true in our spiritual growth and development. If we want to go to where God is challenging us to go spiritually, to be the man or woman of God that God is calling us to, we're not going to get there unless we leave the old behind. We can't have both. So there will be challenges. There will be changes. There will probably be rejection in different ways. God has a purpose for you. He has a promise for you. There will be challenges. Your part, my part, in order to go forward is to respond with obedience and faith. That is what God has always sought in his people. He's not looking for the greatest talent. He's not looking for the greatest voice. He's not looking for the sharpest mind or the most educated of whatever else. He's looking for people who are willing to be obedient and faithful. He chose the unlikeliest people. He chose what others would consider as being unqualified. When you think about it, it seems strange at first, but God chooses the most unlikely people in order to do some extraordinary things through them. I want to say to you, you don't need a super talent. You don't need to be Superman or super spiritual man. You don't need to be extraordinary. You don't need to be the best at anything. What you need to be, what I need to be, is obedient and faithful. The bottom line is this. Will you trust God with your life? And again, let me say, trusting God is not just about going to far-flung places. It's just as much about what's happening here in your life and in your surroundings. Trusting God means saying yes to Him, knowing that God does have a purpose for you, and He will be with you. Will you trust Him? Will you follow Him in obedience and faith? And I want to encourage you and remind you, every one of us has a place and a purpose in God's kingdom. It's not all going far off. It's not all standing behind a pulpit. There are many ways that God can use and wants to use each one of you. And I am so grateful to be a part of a church where people understand that. In a sense, I'm preaching to the choir. You know this because you are already there in so many ways. And I'm grateful. But if God is speaking to you about something in your life that you haven't been quite sure about and resolved to say yes to God about, I want to encourage you today to move forward in faith and obedience and see what God has for you and through you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I'll close my message with this. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has a purpose for you, friends. God has a plan for you. He will be with you despite the challenges. It's only when we say yes to Him will we get a glimpse of what amazing things He has prepared for those who love Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before You this morning, and we are so grateful for what You are doing in our lives, in our midst, in the life of Nora as one example, but Lord, in many others here, in whatever ways that You call us. But Lord God, this morning, I can't help but wonder if there isn't someone else that You are speaking to about something in their life that they need to respond to You with and move forward with in faith and obedience. And Lord, if there is that call in someone's life today that they have perhaps struggled with, I pray that today, here, that they would be able to say yes to You. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. Lord, I pray that that would be much more than a song that we will sing, but it would be the desire in our hearts, no matter who we are, no matter what we are facing, no matter what You are calling us to, may we respond with obedience and faith and say yes to our Lord, our God. Amen.